I want to ask you a question as you're turning to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Consider this for a moment. If a picture can speak a thousand words, what does your life say? 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verses 14 into chapter 5. Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God in prayer. I have found this posted online. Maybe you have as well. This is what the writer said. As I write this, the calendar is ready to roll over to December, the most joyous month of the year. It's also the month when the war on Christmas begins. All around us, we're being bombarded with commercials, flyers, and catalogs referring to holiday greetings, holiday gifts, holiday trees, holiday vacation, holiday this and that. For those who might not understand where I'm heading with this, let me explain in clear terms. The season we're celebrating right now is not the holiday season, but the C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S season. In any way you add it up, the root word of C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S is C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ. We celebrate Christ. 1 year, the SeaTac Airport in Seattle made national news by banning Christmas trees. The trees are back, but a committee recommended that there be no mention of the word Christmas, and instead they should be called peace and harmony trees. In this day of movements and symbols of movements, where political correctness has run apparently completely amok, there is one movement I intend to support and participate in even without the lapel pin or t-shirt on. It is the movement you can say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I intend to participate every day. And I intend to participate the other 11 months of the year, if not with my words, with my life. And that is the challenge Paul is laying at your feet. Will you be saying Merry Christmas? What does your life say? Say Merry Christmas every day by living a godly life. Your conduct says everything about what you truly believe. Paul expresses his intended plans of coming to them. Then he covers what needs to be reinforced. Recognize who sets the rules for life in God's family. God does. God sets the rules. He is the Father, the authority, the one in charge. And remember, He is trustworthy. We are to treat each other as family. The church is family. It's not an organization nearly as much as a family, or it's even better. My description of family may include frustrations, but I would take a bullet for them. And I'm thinking of one in particular, and he's coming tomorrow. Just drives me crazy sometimes. You can quote him. Quote me. I would take a bullet for him in a heartbeat. Family. We are to treat each other as the family of God. What is at stake is the truth and veracity of the Christian faith as the world watches. The church is the pillar and support of the truth. And the only life worth living is the life lived for Christ. I saw something just the other day that said, the leader of a very large, well-known church, and I'm talking worldwide leader, basically said Christianity is outdated. Can I say to you that Christianity is never going to be outdated? Because God knows how He created us. He knows how we function. And His ways are the way, best way for us to function. And so your behavior either supports that claim or tears it down. So what does your life say? Chuck Swindoll says it is never too early to give some gifts away. And he makes the following suggestions for everyday life gifts. Mend a quarrel. Seek out a forgotten friend. Dismiss suspicion. Write a long overdue love note. Hug someone tightly and whisper, I love you. Forgive an enemy. Be gentle and patient with an angry person. Express appreciation. Gladden the heart of a child. Find the time to keep a promise. Make or bake something for someone else anonymously. Release a grudge. Listen. Speak kindly to a stranger. Enter into another's sorrow. Smile. Laugh a little. Laugh a lot more. Take a walk with a friend. Kneel down and pat a dog. Lessen your demands on others. Apologize if you were wrong. Turn off the television and talk. Treat someone to an ice cream cone. Do the dishes for the family. Pray for someone who helped you when you hurt. Fix breakfast on Saturday morning. Give a soft answer even though you feel strongly. Encourage an older person. Point out one thing you appreciate most about someone you work with or live near. Offer to babysit for a weary mother. Give your teacher a break. Be especially cooperative. That would make life one long, extended gift of ourselves to others. And isn't that what our lives should say? That the coming of Christ changes people? So keep living the way God tells us to, thinking more highly of others than ourselves, treating other people the way you want to be treated, turning the other cheek if necessary, going the extra mile. Live a godly life. What does your life say? Say Merry Christmas every day by holding on to the truth about Christ. And that is more than mere morality or social goodness. This should be the confession of your life, that Christ is my Savior. Earlier, Paul mentioned holding to the mystery of the faith, and he fills it out in this section. It is God's redemptive plan, God's powerful actions that form the good news of the gospel, and the transforming results of accepting it. There are six lines starting in verse 16. That formed the essence of what we celebrate as Christmas. That God loved mankind enough to come after us. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been in a situation where you were in deep, deep trouble and you didn't know how you were going to get out? And you needed somebody to come after you? Jesus did that. He did that. He came after us. Christ took on flesh, the incarnation. He was vindicated by the Spirit in His bodily resurrection. He was seen by the angels. He was worshipped in His glorification. He is proclaimed all over the world. Lines 4 and 5 speak of the developing ministry of Christ in His church. Not only is He proclaimed all over the world, the Spirit is moving, transforming lives. And the last line refers not just to Christ's ascension, but also to the majesty of God's presence in Christ. Consider some of the passages that speak of Jesus coming in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 7, the prophet said that a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call His name Emmanuel. God with us. I don't know if you've ever been alone, if you've ever felt like you were alone, but Emmanuel, God with us. In Isaiah chapter 6, this is what the prophet said. A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So hold on to how the Bible describes God. He is love. He is light. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. So hold on to the truth about who Jesus is. I learned to water ski on two skis. I was about 9 or 10 years old. It wasn't very long until I thought I was pretty big stuff. I wanted to learn to slalom, like my brother, like my mom, like my cousins did. Well, one summer we were at the lake with my Uncle Carl and his family, and I pestered him and pestered him to teach me how to slalom. He said, the first thing you got to remember is hang on, take a deep breath and hang on. Well, if you've ever water skied, on one ski especially, you can jump up on two seemingly almost immediately. But on one, you better take a deep breath and hold on. Because you take that deep breath and the boat starts and the water comes up flooding over your head. And finally, after a while, it gets up enough speed and you get up going. That's skiing, but that's also life. Take a deep breath and hold on. Holding on to the truth of Christ is not just nodding in agreement. It is submitting your will to His. What many lack is not believing Jesus is God, but it's repentance of being in charge, deciding what's right or wrong, assuming that you are God. Something I've read in the last couple of weeks said that is the critical issue. It's not that we don't think there is a God. We're just not willing to obey Him. We're not willing to submit our will to His will. And that's the challenge for all of us. There's also an aspect of repentance about being about God's trustworthiness. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. He knows what is best for you. Remember what I have said to you for months now. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Remind yourself that you didn't earn a right standing with God, that He granted it to you. He gave it to you as a gift. Dallas Willard in The Renovation of the Heart, Transforming the Mind, said the process of spiritual formation in Christ is one of progressively replacing those destructive images and ideas with the images and ideas that filled the mind of Jesus Himself. We must apply our thinking to and with the Word of God. We must thoughtfully take that Word in, dwell upon it, pondering its meaning, explore its implications, especially as it relates to our own lives. We must seek the Lord by devoting our power of thinking to understanding the facts and information of the gospel. Think like, act like, become like Christ. Hold on to the truth about Christ. What does your life say? Say Merry Christmas every day by never letting your guard down. Always remember to protect yourself. Notice two things about the false teachers in that last section into chapter 4 who are populating the last days. Notice the function of false teachers. One, they are hypocrites. They'll say one thing and do another. They are liars. They cover up their arrogance. And their consciences were seared or cauterized. They have been branded by Satan. Then notice the form of the false teachers. Some forbade marriage, emphasizing the ascetic life. Some demanded abstinence from certain foods, and others preached a works mentality. And the foods issue probably stemmed back to Mosaic law of clean and unclean foods. So the proper response is to eat anything after giving thanks for it. Never let your guard down. Went recently to the primary care doctor. Did you get a flu shot? No, sir, I did not. You know, he basically said, why not? Well, the truth of the flu shot is that's great as long as the flu stays in that strain. But flu mutates, it changes. So I think we ought to go ahead and insert the fist bump rule. Instead of shaking hands, let's just, or point at each other and say, hey, how you doing? And not be giving each other the germs. You know what's going to happen in about 2 weeks? Everybody's going to be sick. Because this one came over here, and this one went over there, and this one went over here. And what you had at home didn't matter, but what you get here, it's different. So we all get sick. That's life. Never let your guard down. One of the things that's a danger for churches is to agree with the statement, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If businesses do that, they die. And the same is true for churches. The truth of the gospel does not change, but how we communicate it may. So let me ask my opening question again. If a picture can speak 1,000 words, what does your life say? Will you be saying Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas this year? Every day, all year long? Never let your guard down. Hold on to the truth about who Christ is and live a godly life. That's the challenge, is for us to live like Christ.